Good morning, Saints.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Well, let me be the first brother from Good Tidings to correctly welcome Brother Audley Lawrence and his wife, Geneva. And we want to welcome Sister Ward and Perrin to our family. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. You know, one of the things that I've been praying for over the last couple of years is that we would get an influx or an infusion of new blood, of new saints. And I believe in that sense, the Lord is answering prayers. It's good to have our brother and his family and parents join us, and Sister Ward with her lively self being with us. So welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I had time. This is not the first message that time I've used this message, and I had timed it out. But what happens is that, you know, as you study for a message and you have a length, and then you use the message, and in the process of speaking, you come up with different thoughts. The Holy Spirit leads you, and sometimes it gets a little bit longer. And then as you prepare to use it again and you start going over the message again, the Lord leads you and shows you different things. I even got some additions to the message this morning from some of the scriptures that were read. Many of them were confirmation. So I just want to thank you all, and I hope that it did not get too long. But I'll do my best to keep it, be conservative. Let us turn our Bibles to a very, very familiar passage. It's found in the Sermon on the Mount. Right after the Beatitudes, we want to read from Matthew chapter 5, and we're reading verses 14, 15, and 16. Again, very familiar. We almost don't need to read them, I don't believe, but it is always good to read the word of the Lord out loud. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sure, the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to examine your word and to discuss. And we would ask that you would bless us from looking at your word. Bless us all, speaker and listener alike, that we may truly end up being brighter lights for you in this world of darkness. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your word. Lead us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I feed off my audience. I love to have faces in front of me and looking at faces and see and getting reactions and sometimes nods of approval or disapproval or whatever it is, but we don't have that here now. So I will do my best to feed off of whatever vibes we have. I have to tell you that we're going to start off and we're going to work through 14, 15, and 16. And we're going to try to pull out some of the things that I've observed from this passage. I believe this is the third message that I've gotten from this passage, and they're all different. But this one, let us move forward. In verse 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. If you turn to the start of chapter 5, it says that he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. So he is speaking to his disciples. I have to believe you that I'm a believer that when 99, if not 100% of the time, when Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to us. True, disciples were moved on and eventually became apostles, and because they were with Christ, but we are disciples of Christ also. And if you study the scripture, what you will note is that there were times when Jesus had groups of more than 300 who were described as his disciples. But he's talking to the people who follow him, a disciple who seeks to have him teach and follow him. And he's saying to them that ye are the light of the world. Now, the first point I want to make is that in the three verses that we have read, the word light comes up four times. And in those four times, there are three different Greek words used for light, and they have different meanings. And I will point that out as we move on. But in this particular meaning, when he says, ye are the light of the world, it is a Greek word called phos, P-H-O-S. You know, comes from we get it from the term phosphorus, or the term phosphorus is a derivative of that word phos. And basically what it means is that it is the supplier of light. It is the giver of light in darkness. And Jesus is saying that you are the supplier of light of the world. I want to note again, he is not saying you are one of the suppliers of light, or you are some of the suppliers of light. He says that ye are the light of the world. Christians, disciples of Jesus Christ, are the spiritual light in this world. They are the one and only spiritual light in this world. The world is in spiritual darkness. And the only light that comes out or comes through that spiritual darkness is the light that emanates from the children of God. So when he says that ye are the light of the world, I can say that we are the light of the world. And because we are involved in spiritual darkness and we are the only light, it is impossible for us to be hidden. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I don't know how many of you have ever flown across a landmass at night. But if you fly, I used to fly back and forth to Georgia and to Florida quite often pre-pandemic. And when you're flying at night, you can see the various cities, all different sizes, but you can see where there is a collection of people living as opposed to wilderness. The light at night, it's clear. You see a light. You see a set of street lights. You see car lights. You see homes. And then when you pass by that area and you go on and you come to the wilderness or the undeveloped or uninhabited areas, it's darkness again. And we are like that in this world. We are scattered worldwide. The Church of Christ is in every country in the world. And some of them are in New York City. I believe we have perhaps one of the largest collections of believers, maybe. In other countries, not so. But we are the light of the world. And as the light of the world spiritually, we cannot be hid Or another way of putting it is, we can't hide. If you are living for Christ, people are going to know it. The darkness is going to be aware of you because they're in spiritual darkness and you're the light of the world. There is no other light spiritually other than Christians. Now, when Christ came in, and if you read John 1, 1 John, John of St. John's 1, he's described as the light of the world. And when he was here, he was the light of the world. But when he left and went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And we now have taken on the task of providing spiritual light to this world of darkness. So we have a job to do. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, when we move to verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. One of the things that I learned when I studying this passage this time is that this particular verse is restated three other times in the Gospels. In Mark 4, it says very similarly, and for we have the time, so I think we can take a look at it. In Mark 4, and verse 21, it says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? In Luke chapter 8, in verse 16, it reads, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. And then again in Luke chapter 11, verse 33, it reads, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, the importance of that for me, number one, is, and I've said this time and time again, that every word of scripture is important. But when the Lord or the Holy Spirit chooses to repeat it, it adds significance. And the more it's repeated, the greater the significance. And if you look at the times of and the conversation around these verses, you will get a very clear understanding that this is four separate times. It's not the same time. Sometimes in the Gospels, we'll have a repeat of a parable or a scripture. These are four different times, which tells me that this was a theme that Christ was trying to impress upon his followers and upon the people of the world. And as we look at this verse, the first thing I want to say to you is that, and I like the Luke chapter 16 one for my purposes, for this particular purpose, it says, no man when he hath lighted a candle covereth it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it upon a candlestick that they which enter may see the light. And that word light is kao, which is a different thing. It means ignite, to light, to light, to set a fire. You know how you have a candle, you strike a match and you hold it, and then the light is now lit. That's a different word from fas, which is a noun. This is a verb of lighting a candle. And one of the things that you get from these four verses is that the person who is lighting the candle, the person who is bringing the candle into the house, is doing so with a purpose. He is doing so, he is lighting that candle with a need and fulfilling that purpose. Jesus Christ has lit us with his light from the Holy Spirit. The question that I have to ask for everyone within the sound of my voice is, who lit you? Who lit you? And I want to say to you, if Jesus Christ was the one who lit your light, God bless you and follow along. But if there's anyone here right now who doesn't know whether they are lit or who lit them, you need to understand what I'm about to say next. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and asked him how he could be saved, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Part of that kingdom of God is you cannot be lit by Jesus Christ. You must be born again. If you don't know that Jesus Christ lit your light, you have not been lit by Jesus Christ, and you need to take care of that. You need to take care of that today. I don't know if you are by yourself. If so, you can contact someone at Good Tidings. If you are there with a member of your household who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, perhaps you can speak to them, and I'm sure they'll be able to lead you to find Jesus Christ. But you need to have your candle lit, because there is coming a time when Jesus will come and collect his lights. He's going to pull the light of the world out of the darkness and take it home to be with him. And you want to be involved in that process of being not left here, but being taken with Christ. So I urge you, look at the scripture, speak to someone, and find out how you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Actually, you could do it right now, because the Bible says that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess that he is the Christ, and that you are a sinner and you're willing to accept his salvation, you can do that right now, and it will take its effect. And Jesus Christ will come into your life, and he will light your life, and he will give you some guidance. But this is not a gospel message, but I cannot walk away and let this slide without mentioning the fact that if you're not lit, you need to be lit. Now, if Jesus Christ lit you, he lit you with a purpose in mind. He lit you with a purpose in mind. I want to show you some things about the purpose. Number one, if you notice, after the light is lit, the light is placed. Verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but put on a candlestick. The lighter of the light decides where that candlestick should be placed. Not to be hidden, he gives it a place where that light can shine. So many times we wonder why we are where we are in life as Christians. And we wonder about our circumstances. If we believe in God and that God has lit our life, we have to also believe that God has put us exactly where he wants us to be. So that there is a need for light, and he has given light to that need. So our job is not to worry so much about the circumstance, like the song that our dear sister sang, in everything, give thanks. As you are giving thanks, you are shining a light. As you have a thankful attitude, regardless of your circumstance, you are shining your light. Your job is to be the light. Okay, Jesus's job, the Holy Spirit's job, is to maintain the light and keep it where it's supposed to be. Another point, that even if you are under a bushel or under the bed, you're still a light and you're still lit. And we need to find out if we are hiding our light, because the light cannot be hid. Many times we're on a hill. I believe that the Assemblies of God are a good example of cities on a hill. Each separate assembly, Good Tidings Gospel Chapel in Bedford-Stuyvesant, the various assemblies throughout the metropolitan area, the churches in the Caribbean, the churches in Europe, the churches in Africa, in South America, across America, each of those churches are a city on a hill. And if they are shining their light, they cannot be hid. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, as saints, we participate in the hiding of our own light. And I want to caution us about that. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes we hide our light in the church, you know. It's a very interesting thing. We will come into the church and we will shine brightly. We will praise the Lord, amens, backslap, and proclaim the name of Jesus within the church. And once we get outside, all that stops. So our light really only shines in the church, where it's not needed, because we are there and there are other lights there. So we have to be careful. We have to make sure that our light shining continues when we leave the church, when we go home, when we go to work, when we go to sleep and wake up, and we go to our jobs, we go to school, we interact with our neighbors throughout the week, that even when we are not in church, we are shining lights for Christ. There's a lack of action in our walk where we hide it, where the Holy Spirit will give us opportunity to represent Christ, to stand up for Christ, to represent Christ, to shine for Christ, and we fail to do so. And there are times when we are silent, when we should say something, where we have the opportunity, we see somebody who is hurting, and we have the opportunity to present to them the comfort and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't say. When we are hear the Church of Christ being attacked, and we don't say anything about it, we don't stand up, or at least say, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. So we have to be careful that we are not the ones who are hiding our light. But our light should be put on a candlestick, and it giveth light to everyone who's in the house. Now, again, the pandemic has put us in some very, very different circumstances. Many of us are working from home. Many of us are being schooled from home. Many of us are limiting our interaction with the outside world because of the concerns for the COVID. And that's true for everyone. But that should not stop your light from shining. Because this pandemic may be particularly giving you an opportunity to shine, particularly in your house. Even if everyone in your house is a believer, you may have an opportunity to be a good example to those members of your household, how to be a better Christian, how to be a stronger Christian, how to build up their Christian walk. It's possible that there may be members of your household or your neighborhood that you still interact with who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you still have the opportunity to let your light shine, to represent Christ, so that wherever you are, you give light to those who are in the house. This is your responsibility. Now, I have to tell you very honestly, I was a little reluctant in developing this message because I thought it was a little simple. I thought this should be something that's very clear to believers. And I believe it is, but I believe it's also something that needs to be reminded to all of us, that regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our placement in life, we have been given a light that we are expected to shine. Now, I have to tell you that there are two main results that Jesus talks about in the shining of our light. The first one is, it's an interesting one because it's not involved in these verses. But if you look at the other three, the verse in Mark, the two verses in Luke, following that verse, Jesus makes a very interesting comment. He says, all the secrets shall be revealed. And everything that is in darkness shall be, those secrets will be brought out. You see, because as we go through this life, Christians living the Christian life, Christians standing up for Jesus Christ, cause the darkness to reveal and uninspect themselves. And they realize that their secrets cannot be hidden. The Bible tells us that those who do evil don't like the light. They like the darkness. And if we can shine bright enough, those secrets are going to come out. And you know what? A lot of the darkness is not going to be happy about. If you go up to the verses above in Matthew 5, and you look at verse 11, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When you are revealing the darkness, many, many times you will find the resentment of the world, particularly to those who are practicing in darkness. They're not going to be happy about you shining the light on them. And we see that many, many, many times in this world. But the second thing is what's mentioned in verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men. Oh, by the way, in verse 15, the word light in at the end of verse 5 is the Greek word lampo, which is the giver of light. You know, like a lamp gives light. It gives light. Different word. Let your light so shine before men, and this goes back, your light goes back to the original Greek word of phos, mentioned in verse 14, with the exception that he's now talking about your light. Let your light, your personal light, your individual light, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We are to stand for God. And if we're standing for God, which means living the Christian life, following the word of God, following the commandments of Jesus, if we are living that Christian life, men are supposed to see our good works, deeds, our actions, our attitude, our walk, our speech. All of that should be permeated by the light of Jesus Christ. Everything that we say and do and think should be permeated, should be involved, should be lighted by the light of Jesus. And if that is the case, men are going to see it. The world is going to see it. Now, I want you to know that it says your good works. It doesn't say your great works. Different quality. Great is size, good is quality. There is a quality to being living the Christian life. It is good, it is wholesome, it is kind. And as you live your life that way, men cannot help but see that there is a difference in you. And they will give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. They will meet and know that we are Christ-lit, resulting in Christ and God our Father, getting the glory and honor. Excuse me. For who do we live for other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? How do we shine? And I'm going to kind of try to wrap this up now. First of all, I want to remind you that we are shining. And we are expected to sign. In Acts 13, verse 47, Paul writes that we have been given the choice to be the light to the Gentiles for their salvation. So one of the first things that we do as shining is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So that's the first good work that you should do. And you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be on a platform. You don't have to be on a pulpit. You don't have to be on a street corner. You can be one-on-one preaching the gospel. You can be one-on-two preaching the gospel. You can be on the phone with a friend preaching the gospel. You can be on Facebook preaching the gospel. You can be on TikTok preaching the gospel. The question is, are you going to let your light shine? In Ephesians 2, it tells us that we are created unto good works. That's our job. One of the things that we know, we are created in the image of Christ. There is no one more, and I excuse my English, there is no one more good than Christ. He is the perfect example of goodness. And as we strive and we work to be more like Christ, as we strive to enhance our sanctification, as we studied a couple of years ago, as we grow in Christ, we should becoming more and more good. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7, we are told that we have this good message, this gospel of Christ, this gospel of light, and it's been placed in our earthen vessels. And that we're expected to give that out. The word good is the Greek word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. And the first definition is beautiful. And then it gets to good. And then it gets to virtuous. There is a quality to the works. Works can be the way you live your life. So as I'm closing now, I want to give you some suggestions on how we go about shining and doing our good works. And the first thing I want to say to you is that please do not choose a good work to do. You know, don't decide that my good work this week is that I am going to give some money to the missionaries in Africa. Or my good work this week is that I'm going to do something for God. Don't do it that way. I'm not saying it's not a good thing to do, but here's a better way. Here is a better way. In Romans 12, after Paul writes about, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The next verse he says to us is that, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What I'm saying is, start on the inside and let your goodness come out. I'm going to take a little bit longer and I'm going to read you some verses of examples of what I'm talking about. If you will turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're talking about transforming our mind. Changing our mind, changing the way we think, the way we approach life. Because remember, we are new creatures in Christ. We are a new creation. And part of that new creation is the way we think and process everything. So Paul says, and I'm reading from verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor or hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And we know what's good and bad. We know what's good and bad. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, putting people ahead of ourselves. Not slothful in business. This is not talking about dealing with just Christians. In your job, in your business, in what you do, don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patience in tribulation. In all things, give thanks. Not for all things, but in all things, give thanks. Our sister sang that song again. Through everything, give thanks. People will notice that. People will, because people see you struggle. Don't think that when you have hard times that you're the only one who knows it. There are people who see you going through hard times. And how you react to that hard time, how you shine your light in that hard time, can have an effect on how people view you and view your God. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, doing nice things. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. This is a hard one. I don't know if I've gotten it yet. I think I'm getting it. Usually I start, when they persecute me, I start to curse them and then I catch myself now. I've gotten to the point now where I can stop and I can bless them. I'd like to get to the point where it's an automatic situation. You know, again, Jesus Christ is our example. On the cross, having been suffered everything that he went through, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we ever get to that point? We should. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, don't be proud, but condescend to men of low estate. Be humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in with you, live peaceably with all men, not just the brethren, with all men, with your neighbor that you can't stand, with your tenant that gives you a hard time, with your boss who resents your Christianity and the fact that you keep a Bible on your desk. Live peaceably. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if the enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And as my mother would say when she read this verse, the reason why you feed him and give him drink is not to heap coals of fire on his head. The reason you do that is to let your light shine so that he can see what Christ and Christianity is all about. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the light of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. Let your light shine. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, your mind, use your mind, to those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen me do. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And lastly, Colossians chapter 3. Notice there's a lot of reading. You can go over and read it yourself if you want. 8 to 17. Mortify your members which are upon the earth, on fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuance, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the sake of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walk sometimes when ye live. Put these things away, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We know the difference between good and bad. We know what's good. We know what's bad. Put off the bad. Take on the good. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If every man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do it in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanks to God and the Father by him. Let your light shine. The point of all these verses, this is mainly the Apostle Paul writing these things and telling the saints, the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, that you need to transform your mind from within. Have this goodness. have this wonderfulness, have the peace of God, have bowels of mercy, understanding the character of Christ, and do your very best to emulate it. That as you do this, the good works are going to flow out of you like magic. Because you're not worried about you. You're not worried about this or that. You are worried about being like Christ. You are worried about being Christ-like and in representing him and letting your shine light. A good, healthy, happy Christian mind, well fed with scripture, cannot help but produce good works to the glory of God the Father.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank you for your time and your attention. Again, going back to when I was talking about if your light was not lit, I ask you that you seriously consider accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He came to earth to die for you because you were in darkness. We all were in darkness. It's not a condemnation of you. It's all of us were in condemnation. And he came to save us. And I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I sincerely hope that for anyone within the sound of my voice who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let me close in a word of prayer. And I will turn the meeting back over to our brother Bonet. Our blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the fact that he has lit our lights. We thank you that he has placed us in situations where we can let our light shine. We thank you that you have given us the power, the wherewithal, and the understanding to let our light shine. And we just ask that you continue to power us up, that we will shine for you wherever we are, so that men will see our good works and give glory to God our Father. Take us all back to our various areas in peace and in safety. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Vic.
Amen. Thank you.